Hello, and welcome to Focus, the Catholic Answers podcast for living, understanding, and defending your Catholic faith. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and very happy to welcome my friend Don Johnson this time to talk about a new film that Don has. It's actually a very busy time for Don. He's got a brand new book out for Catholic Answers Press called Twisted Unto Destruction, and he's got a brand new movie out called Disconnected, which we are here to discuss. Don, welcome.
Hey, Cy.
Congratulations on all the things.
Thanks. That you got. Didn't exactly plan for them all to be released within 10 days of each other.
Yeah. But that's sometimes how it goes.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Do your children remember what you look like?
It's getting a little hazy for them, but I pop in once in a while.
I watched your movie, Disconnected, and I actually am still not sure what my emotional response to it is. It churned me up. And it's a movie about people involved in the transgender movement, people who have transitioned, one of whom in the movie, detransitioned, I guess is the way you say it. And what a mix of emotions, from the kind of joy of seeing each person is a lovely instance of God's creation, and it's beautiful that you as a filmmaker are able to show that. There's no sense of this is the enemy over here. But also a sense of horrible loss and tragedy, fear for what is happening and will continue to happen, especially to young women and girls. These stories come full circle in some cases and have beautiful redemptive endings. So I'm just starting there. I don't know how to respond to your movie emotionally.
Well, as a filmmaker, I'll take that.
Okay.
Honestly, I mean, movie making is they're emotion machines, supposedly. That's what they're supposed to be, right?
Like
that's what they are. And so as a filmmaker, you're trying to get people to feel something, the visual medium. So the worst thing you can hear is, you know, it made me think. I mean, yes, we want people to think, but if you're thinking too much, you're probably bored by it and you didn't get to the end of the movie. So I'm glad, because you're one of the few that have seen it so far, Cy. So I appreciate that. It's not even out to the general public yet. And it is, but it is an emotional issue that has like many layers to it, right? Like there's a lot of pain and suffering, which of course is, as a dad, that's why I'm making the movie. I've got four kids. They range throughout those teenage years. And I mean, what a horrible time to be a teenager, right? So that trying to address that issue, but also I also know that as a parent, a lot of us parents are just like feeling overwhelmed. I call it a tsunami in like the notes for the movie. Like this thing seems to be overtaking all of our institutions. It's affecting all of our families. I suspect everyone listening, unless you're in a cave somewhere, that you know people who, you know, her daughter just changed her pronouns or whatever. Like
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So.
And certainly in many of our own homes, somewhat horrifying to parents. And we'll get to the part about it being an issue that is separating parents and children and the mechanism of that. But first of all, the first insight in the movie that you share that I found quite striking is that if you attend to the cover of Vanity Fair magazine or the mass media in many ways, you'll have a sense that the transgender movement is about middle-aged men who want to present as women. But that is demographically a complete deception. That is not what this movement is about.
That's right. That's a very small percentage of people. Yes, they make good magazine cover. Yes, we see them in the high reaches of government.
Right.
And yes, they are having an effect on the culture. But that effect is being felt primarily among young girls, some boys, but primarily among young girls. And it's just getting younger and younger and younger. What these men have is usually some sort of autogynephilia, where it's a sexual dysfunction, where they get aroused by dressing in women's clothes. That is not gender dysphoria that we have typically assigned to young kids. With the young kids, it's actually mostly been very young boys. About 0.02% of young boys would have had like a question, like, I don't feel quite comfortable in my body.
Yeah.
And they all grow out of it. 99% grow out of it by the time they get out of puberty. This is historically what has happened. But starting in 2015 with Bruce Jenner switching over to Caitlyn, and a huge movement online. So all like Discord and all of the social media were just full of pro-trans movement propaganda towards young girls. Starting then, it has overtaken this huge fad that has overtaken the teenage girls. And they're the ones that are just being decimated by this.
Okay, well, what about the person who says, no, Don, that is not correct for you to use the word fad, because what's really going on is society is becoming more tolerant, and people who were hidden before can now come out of the shadows.
Right, right. Yeah, so the argument is that this is actually a biological condition, that certain people are just born this way, and that historically they would have had to keep that under wraps, right? And now that society is accepting it, now they can all come out. And of course, you look at that and you say, okay, if it is a biological condition, first of all, let's examine how we're treating that. Secondly, if it is a biological condition, it would you'd see a wide spectrum of society, right? Across all ages,
that like why aren't 40-year-old women coming out?
You wouldn't see, which is what we are seeing. You wouldn't see a group of 12 girls who, in sixth grade, all decided that they were gay, and then that same 12 girls the next year all decided that no, we're actually trans fluid or gender fluid or something.
Yes.
And you wouldn't see then 15 of them go down to Planned Parenthood en masse and get their testosterone from them. I mean, that's the, if you look at how the movement works.
But we are
works,
seeing things like that in many places.
We're absolutely seeing
clusters of girls.
Huge clusters of girls will literally show up at Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Like the whole friend group. In fact, one of the young girls, we hid her identity in the film just because she's so young and we don't need the harassment. But she's 15. She got into it when she was 12, 13. In the GSA club in school, which is the Gay Straight Alliance, which oftentimes is essentially now a recruitment tool for the trans movement. And she's like, yeah, our whole friend group, we just kept moving through this. And she actually, the way she got out of it is she started thinking about, this doesn't seem like it's biological. Like she literally started thinking along those lines.
Right.
And started asking questions, and then was basically shut down. No, we can't ask questions about this. So it's absolutely not biological. It is a social movement. Now, and again, I don't want to be too quick with the fad. I should qualify when I say fad.
Okay.
Because you think fad, you think like, you know, when we, well, no, you and I are both even too old for goth, but I'm thinking like in the 90s, the goth movement,
sure,
or in the 80s, you know, like,
right.
Yeah, there's fads that people.
I
like,
went all the way back to the hula hoop. Sorry about that.
You're
I'm really old.
But these kind of trends, like a social trend where you want to be cool. I mean, there is some of that, right? Like you can be an outcast in society, feel very unpopular, especially in today's social media age, but you've got an Instagram account and you flip your pronouns on your Instagram account. Suddenly I've got 50,000 followers.
Yeah.
I'm a superstar. So there is some of that. But I also try to take a fairly good section of the film to look at some of the other emotional, psychological issues that are at play here. And there are a lot of them. So it's not a biological issue, but it certainly is an issue that we traditionally would have tried to address with therapy. So things like autism. Upwards of 30%. I mean, at minimum 30% of these kids are on the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
It's probably more like 50 or higher. There's that aspect. A lot of them have been abused. So the sexual abuse factor plays a major role. Many of them come from broken homes and their identity is crushed that way. Pornography is a huge player in this, where you have young girls that are just sick and tired of being objectified,
probably afraid of being objectified.
Absolutely afraid of. And you think about, I mean, the porn that was available when we were kids, you'd have to like sneak around and find a magazine somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you'd find a picture of a naked lady. It was bad enough. I mean, it wasn't good. But today, it's violent rape and degradation on your phone. To everyone. And
with
so
full sound and color, like it's action.
It's
a totally different animal.
Totally different.
And then also you don't have to, it's not, you know, your friend's brother got the dad's magazine and now we can all thumb through it. This is children at 8, 9, 10 years old seeing sex for the first time as a profoundly violent and violating act.
And then they are being asked sometimes they feel forced almost, the social pressure is so strong, to be a part of that.
Yep.
And they're like, well, I don't want to be the girl in this situation.
No.
And so maybe I will be the boy. I will pull myself out of that. So there's all of these different factors at play pushing that population towards grabbing a transgender identity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not like, you know, going goth where you're like, okay, I can look at those pictures and laugh now, or my, you know, my pictures from the 80s with my mullet and the crazy clothes. I mean, yeah, you think, okay, that was silly. Now I move on. This is permanent damage we are doing to these kids. Cause it's not, if you take a trans identity now, there's a very clear, like vortex that you're going to get sucked into, some steps that you're going to follow. And there's no way out of those, really. Like once you're in, you kind of like you're on this path, and it starts with social transition where you were going to change your names, maybe behind your parents' back if you're at school, right? We're going to change your pronoun. They're going to change your name. We're going to have different clothes for you at school to wear when you get here so that you can dress like your new gender. So we'll social transition. And then at the earliest convenience, if you are prepubescent, we will put you on puberty blockers, which stop puberty. And by the way, stop a lot of other things with your body. It's a horrendous, horrendous thing to do to your body. After you've been on puberty blockers for a while, inevitably, high 90s in the percentage, you then go on cross-sex hormones. So if you're a girl, we'll start to feed you testosterone, weekly shots, monthly shots, every 2 weeks. After testosterone, for as little as a few months to a year, we will schedule you for surgery, starting with what's euphemistically called top surgery. Double mastectomy, removing your breasts.
And these are minors or near minors having their breasts removed?
Minors. So, minors. And this is a very important point, because this is disputed among the culture. Like, no, you know, we wouldn't do this to anybody below 18. No, we're absolutely doing this. And in fact, just in the week that we're talking, several hospitals around the country have pulled down their entire websites because it has been alerted that, oh, here's the videos we are showing you about how, in fact, we are doing these surgeries on 15-year-olds, on 13-year-olds. The organization that provides the quote, guidance to doctors, the WPATH, they recommend as young as 13.
Yeah.
13 years old for a double mastectomy.
And where does their expertise come from?
I would say nowhere. They're ideologues. I mean, they're just,
where's their money come from?
Well, the money. So the money, of course, is huge in this. So the money comes from where the pharmaceutical companies obviously are making a ton of money in the same way that pharmaceutical companies make any money, right? If they can sell you drugs, which is what the synthetic hormones are, right? They're produced in a lab and then sold to you. And you think about it, Cy, like, What a great game that is. In the past, if you are a pharmaceutical company, you'd have to wait for somebody to get sick.
Yeah, but now
now everybody's available. Like, not only are we going to take healthy people and give them drugs, the drugs that we give them actually make them sick. So you go on puberty blockers, you go on cross-sex hormones, you're now a medical patient for life. Because your body does not produce the proper hormones to keep it alive. Like you're just not doing what your body is supposed to do.
So we've got you as a customer for life.
Customer for life. And then the side effects then you have to get more drugs than the surgeries, which are horrendous. I mean, I as emotionally painful as it was to watch parts of the film, the stuff that I kept out of it just for the sake of keeping it PG-13, you can't believe what we're doing to kids' bodies. Just horrendous stories you hear. The surgery, I mean, it's $1 billion year industry already, the surgeries, and that is a growth industry. So we are marketing this. And again, if this was biological, right, there'd be a set number of people that this applies to.
Right.
And we wait for them to come and we give them the drugs.
Yeah.
No, we are marketing. In fact, I saw an article just this week about Planned Parenthood's new finance model. And this is a huge moneymaker for Planned Parenthood. They don't have to just rely on abortions now. Selling testosterone is a huge moneymaker for them. So you can walk in as a 14-year-old and in an hour walk out with testosterone. Essentially, no questions asked. Now, they're not going to admit that, but anecdotally, that's what happens. You can walk in as a whole group of junior high girls, and all of you walk out
with testosterone.
One
of the emotions, although I'm still sifting through my emotions, is one of a kind of shame at not fighting this. Like, how are we as fathers and mothers, as adults, not saying, no, not just you can't touch my children, you can't do this to children. You are wrong to do this. That a girl who comes to you and says, I'm a boy, and has nothing wrong physically with her. You're not diagnosing she has breast cancer or she has ovarian cancer. She's presenting with no physical symptoms.
That's right.
And you are medicalizing her, putting her on all kinds of medicines. You're doing surgeries on her. And her personality, her judgment is she can't vote yet. You know, she can't, she can't even be tried in adult court if she commits a murder, because that their brains are not formed. Their mind is different. So it's clearly exploitive child abuse. And I have to say, I feel shame watching it, that what else can I do? I have to say no to somebody. We have to say no.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the reasons we made the movie, is that some people are unaware. There's a lot of knowledge is growing, but a lot of us, say 2 years ago, we didn't know this stuff was going on. So, fair enough. We're trying to make people aware. But I agree with you, Si. Once you're aware, this is not one of those issues that we can sort of it's a cultural issue and it's sad.
No.
No, we got this. It is the medical malpractice scandal possibly in the history of the world.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's that big and that evil.
Well, you would put it up there with things like the Tuskegee Airmen experience or experiments, or the sterilizing of women who had mental health problems,
Lobotomies.
Scale is enormous. And the damage is permanent. You cannot reverse. You're not just flipping on a switch and flipping it off we went this way, we'll go back the other way. And this is what you see in the movie, the consequences in the body of women.
And this is a flat-out lie that they're telling kids, by the way, that we need to be aware of as parents, as teachers, as pastors, whatever. The ideologues will tell kids, we're just putting you on pause, like when we give you puberty blockers. And then you start up again. Or you switch for a little while and you switch back. That's absolutely false. It's absolutely not true. Your body is permanently changed.
Yeah.
From everything from your voice, which is a major deal. Like you now, as a girl, will have a male voice for the rest of your life. There's no going back from that.
Right.
And it's devastating because the detransitioners, there's a Reddit group, it's over 40,000 detransitioners strong right now. Like this, the numbers behind this are way bigger than people think they are, like hundreds of thousands of girls getting sucked into it.
Well, I think one of the things that will stop it, Don, is if we just have laws that say, if someone's done this to you, there's no statute of limitations. You can sue them until you're 100. Then doctors will stop doing it, because the risk won't be on the child. The risk will be on the doctor, and then they'll be a lot more careful.
That is the hope, right? Yeah. That is the hope, that we can sue them into
stopping.
No, that's right. That's where it's going to. In fact, the plastic surgeon that we interview in the film, that's exactly what he said, is like, we've got the law has to come down on the side of the kids.
Yeah.
The doctors have to be afraid of mutilating these kids. I know that we are going to be rallying in front of the American Academy of Pediatricians National Conference up in Anaheim here in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
so a group of us are going to...
What day will that be? Do you know?
It's actually on the same day as the premiere of the film. So it worked out. Yeah. So we're going to start and we're not telling you exactly where, because it's going to be some counter protest, it sounds like. But, you know, let me know and we'll get you. But it's across a wide spectrum of like religious beliefs and political beliefs. And they're like, no, we just need to stop mutilating kids. And yeah. So we're going to be out there trying to educate people. I mean, I think, if the doctors should, I don't know. You know, on the front of our shirts, we have do no harm. Like that's the message. Like, what are you doing? I don't know.
But you don't just stop with the – it's not just a movie full of outrage, certainly. As a matter of fact, part of why you end up at the end feeling – so much a desire to make this stop, to contribute to stopping it, is that it's nothing like what's sold when people, you know, use just euphemisms of, you know, like affirming or what it was, gender affirming and all right. surgery and all that. Because what you see is violence being done to children who are not who were saying, because they gave consent, we can do this violence to them, but they're not of an age to give consent That's to what correct. You're doing. There's putting us in touch with those young people allows us to see, no, the stakes are too high for me to ignore this. And I don't want to upset anybody on Facebook. No, it's time to upset some people and say, no, this is child mutilation. Stop it. But you do something else in the movie, which is a kind of intellectual turn where you connect this with a kind of theology, a kind of post-humanist, it's almost Gnostic hatred of the body, that the real me is my spirit, that my body is just an accoutrement that comes along that I could just change. Could you give us a little bit of that?
Yeah, I think this is an important part of the story, in that we need to understand what's the thinking behind this. And part of that was practical. I was like trying to follow the money and follow the, like, who is pushing this? Because it does seem to be a movement where you can't necessarily find a bogeyman here or here, although there are a few. But it's a intense, irrational hatred of people. And that got me looking at more the philosophy and the spiritual reality behind that. Like, and you mentioned Gnosticism, of course, that is this dualistic view of reality where matter is, we hate matter,
yeah.
right? The spirit.
The spirit is all that's good.
Is all that's good. And you think, like, what does it take for, Carl Truman has a great book on this, a couple of good books on this. And he asked the question, like, what do you have to assume to accept the idea that a person can come to you and say, I am a man trapped in a girl's body. Like, how do you even accept that? Like, what's the assumptions there? And right. so we dig into that, and it is a Gnosticism. There is a hatred of the body, or at least a separation, a disconnection, which is where we get the title of the film, right? It's a lot of disconnecting. What God joined together, we're disconnecting. But a disconnecting of self from body. And you look at that, and I'm like, well, what kind of philosophy separates self from body, and who, I think who is actually the proper, like, who is behind that? Like, who hates the body? Who hates the family? And I connect, like, why is it we hate the body? Well, ultimately, I think it has to do with the family that the body ties us to.
Yeah. And I can't be an utterly free, autonomous right? creature with no obligations or attachments if I have a family.
That's right.
And so we got to move these young people away from their family.
Away from their body, away from their family. And this, again, is like why this made me question, like, why the teachers, you know, in the past, the teachers' unions at schools would have been like, hey, let's get the family more involved. Let's get the parents more involved. And now we flipped. Counseling, too. No, like, hey, we got to get the parents involved here. And now it's flipped. Like, no, we got to hide this. And they're like, what's so anti-family, anti-body? And I think at root, it's a hatred of, reality, but the reality that God created, right? Yeah. It is a hatred of the human person made in the image of God, this hylomorphic being of body and soul and spirit. And it is that desire to rage against that, like rage against, no, I don't want to be a creature. I don't want to be told that I was born into this thing. Like, no, I want to be completely, quote, free. Of course, you don't get free. You become a slave. But that's the lie. And ultimately, I think then it shows itself to be a very satanic, sort of dark movement at its root.
It is.
That is just a hatred of God and a hatred of the image of God in us. And I don't see how it can be explained really any other way. Like there's no rational, money making. I see the money making, you kind of see that. But
why, it's something else.
But why make money this way? Yeah. It's just so weird, No, it's that dark underneath that it's a rage against God.
Where I'd like to end with you is on this idea that I said I would get back to earlier in this conversation, and that is the way in which this issue separates parents from children. Certainly, it separates like all kind of moral issues where there's some kind of moral innovation. The young are more interested in being on board with it, where the old. So even in a family that doesn't have it, the child is not presenting this as an issue, this will divide them from their parents in the sense that, oh, my parents, they're transphobic or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But there's a quite conscious effort in the what might be called the trans community, which I think is actually anti-community, of separating children from their parents. Like they're not hiding that part of the problem is children's attachment to their parents.
Yeah, it's and again, that the anti-family, anti-parent aspect of it, the cultish, like sociologically, that's a cult maneuver, right? To separate you from other authorities. This, I feel like it goes even deeper to connect you from that image of God the Father and our Blessed Mother that you see every day that your parents are. Parents, I would say, for one, parents need to be aware of this, that this is they are trying to separate your kids from you. And the answer is not for you to go along with this. Like the answer is not for you to affirm. Suicide threats or not, those suicide threats
that struck me, the nasty manipulativeness of this. Either your child transitions or they're going to die of suicide.
This is emotional blackmail. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. Suicide rates go up after transition. The rate is so do not, you got to understand this whole thing is a lie, right? Do not buy into that. Your kids, I guarantee the wave is just starting now, and another few years, there's going to be so many girls. Already we're starting to see it. So many girls who have such a hatred of the adults in their life that did this to them, but also refused to help them. Like, let's let them go, push them along. The blowback is going to be immense. And I am telling you, please, parents, pastors, the answer is not to like walk alongside them in that way, like affirm. No. They're going to regret this, and you need to protect them. It is a devastating thing that they will grow out of.
Yeah.
That we need to
gotta find some way,
do all we can. Gotta. I like how you said this is, it's one of those movements where you can't sit on the sidelines. And the Facebook thing is actually huge, right? Like, yeah. I know tons of people are like, hey, they'll say to me privately, hey, appreciate what you're doing. I can't really share it because I have trans friends online. A lot of people,
stop it.
Well, but I get it.
I get it. But, yeah, but
I've had several people. It was interesting even trying to get interviews for this film. Okay. Several people that I thought would be like, hey, you'd be great. Why can you? Absolutely not. They would not because they didn't agree with it, because they didn't want the blowback.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas some people, God bless them, they were brave. The people who show up in this movie are brave because there is blowback. There's professional, personal blowback. But my answer to them at the time, and it still is like, if not you, who?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be, I even convinced people to work on the film by saying, listen, in 20 years, we're going to look back on this the way we look back on lobotomies and all the rest of these crazy, insane things. You do not want to be on the wrong side of this thing, looking back and saying, "Yeah, I was too shy. I should have stood up. Now this person is still to this day mutilated and talks low when they shouldn't have been. I should have said, no, we have to stand up right now.
Right.
And say, enough is enough. Even if it's just a Facebook post, I mean, do whatever you can. But that, we have to do that because the truth is your trans friends are not happy in that, if I'm just being blunt, right? Like,
right.
They're not. I'm sorry. This is not a way of life that is going to lead them to fulfillment and the loving thing to do, especially because it's so focused on minors now. I mean, you think about it, I can't even remember if this part is in the film, but it struck me when I talked to one of the professors at John Paul II Institute. He's like, it's not just the kids that change their pronouns, but when little Johnny's in a class, okay, and the girl that he has known as Mary now comes and he has to call her Fred or whatever, that's no small thing. You're now undermining that fourth grader's entire view of reality, right, of his parents, of his teachers, of the world around them, of himself. You're completely undermining his understanding of what the world is like, what the meaning of life is.
Yeah.
That's no small thing. Like, this is a serious, serious issue that affects everyone. If you have to sign up for a job and put your pronouns, even that, that is not...
It's such coercive.
It's coercive, but it's coercive in a, such an undermining, insidious way.
Right. And you know, you don't want to be the person who has a bumper sticker that doesn't say love is love. You know, everybody wants to be on the side. Okay. Right. I feel like, yeah, you've gone along with the sexual revolution for this and for this and for this. That doesn't mean you have to go along with the mutilation of children. And there's some place where you got to say no.
Yeah.
And even if we disagree completely on gay marriage, we disagree maybe on divorce culture, whatever, fine. But you're not a monster for disagreeing with me about those. I'm going to be honest with you. If you know that children are being mutilated and you're scared of – There's a certain moral monstrousness about that. You're scared to say no, that's wrong. Then I'm sorry. This is not a sexual revolution issue. It's a child abuse issue.
Yeah.
And get it right. You know, like don't.
I agree with you. And in fact, that is what we're seeing in certain corners. So like the rally in front of the pediatricians convention has like groups, you know, gays against groomers is there, you know,
I know.
And like lesbians.
I've listened to the spokeswoman for them and she's just great on
like
this topic.
These kind of groups. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't understand the philosophy underlying and at some point, I've also told this, at some point, the Catholic Church is the only one left standing, and that's the one that's going to have to, like, hey, I stand toted, you know, I'll stand side by side with atheists and
right.
everybody. Let's stop the child abuse, right?
Right.
Also realizing that we need to understand where this is coming from. And in the same way that I stand with atheists against, you know, whatever, like murder, right? Okay.
Yeah.
That right. At some level, we have to realize this is a very dark satanic attack against human life. And let's understand what brought us to this if we're ever going to recover. Because I do think, I mean, it strikes me as like the... pedophilia was on the rise in the 90s. I don't know if you remember this. Like, it was getting quite...
We were trying to get good press.
You know, it was getting good press. And thankfully, we stopped that because it was...
But that's what you...
But this is what we need to do again.
Yeah, say no.
Have
some place where you'll say no.
We got to stop.
Yeah.
And you'll see it again. So again, the pedophilia is on the rise again. This is a pedophilia movement. This we're talking about here. At some level, we have to stop all of it, realizing where it's coming from. But even on a very practical level, we are talking about mutilating children right now. So yes, just like enough is enough. Yeah. This is.
And if you won't say no to this, what will you say no to?
Well, and that's, I mean,
what's it going to take to get you to alienate a few people on Facebook? You know, what is it going to take? And if it's not this, I don't know what it'll take.
Right. Which hopefully the movie will help at, because I do think there are people who are out there saying, well, I mean, the trans issue, you know, I know that guy down the street who's lived with his partner and he dresses and seems like a nice guy. And hey, who am I? That's not what we're talking about here. This is about the kids. And it's incredibly dark and evil. So yeah, absolutely. We need to frame it that way.
Disconnected is the name of the movie. Tell us where we can see it and where we can learn about it.
So the first chance to see it, unless you are a special person like Cy Kellett who gets the preview, is on October 8th. The same day this rally is going to take place, by the way, if you want details on that, I'm happy to provide them. But Saturday night, October 8th at Christ Cathedral in Orange County, California, Garden Grove, California, beautiful campus. They have a beautiful building there called the Cultural Center that was used in Star Trek for Space Command. In the basement of that is a lovely theater, and so it's going to be a fantastic.
And there's plenty of parking there.
Plenty of free parking.
I love that place.
Oh, it's a beautiful.
Orange County with plenty of parking.
Totally. And we'll have a red carpet there for you to take your picture on the red carpet. You can talk to several of the people that are in the movie, including the main girl whose story we tell. She's going to be there. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Several other detransitioners, even who are not in the movie, but who you've maybe seen on like Fox News and other places, are actually going to attend as well.
Right.
So it should be a really cool evening. And then after that, you'll be able to stream it around the world at runawayplanetpictures.com. Okay, which is my, you can go to donjohnsonmedia.com if that's easier to remember.
Like you could get a group together and screen the?
No, not, sorry, stream. So on demand.
Streamed.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You could totally get a group together and we will do a screening for you. I'll come to your church or we'll set you up with the screening. Absolutely, you can do that too.
But you can just buy it like a streaming
movie. But you
movie.
Can buy it like on, like you would on Netflix or whatever.
Okay. You could put it on with your teenagers. You didn't make the movie a movie that you can't watch with teenagers.
I think you should watch it with your teenagers, at least. I mean, not maybe the young. I don't know. Depends on the situation, but parents for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and because I think narrative is the thing that works in adolescence primarily, that if there's a character that I can sympathize with and empathize with, then my whole view will change. And you certainly the whole film is built around one such person,
a person that you
root for.
And you can't argue with story, right? You can't argue with her experience. And also, by the way, let me throw out, if you are still a DVD person, and I actually think that in this kind of movie, you should probably get a hard copy of it, because in a digital age where this topic – they'll do their best. I'd hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but they'll try to keep you from it digitally. Having a hard copy is a good idea. Ignatius Press will be selling the hard copies. You can pre-order them already at ignatius.com.
Don Johnson, you've done so much good work, so many good films. This is among the most important things you've ever done. Disconnected is the name of the movie. Say the website again.
So you can go to donjohnsonmedia.com. Yeah. You can go to Disconnected Movie. It's Disconnected with a Y, as in dysphoria. That will get you there. RunawayPlanetPictures.com will also get you there.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Son.
Thank you for joining us for this bonus episode of Catholic Answers Focus. We hope that you found it helpful. You will certainly find the movie helpful. So many things come into perspective when we see them on the human level rather than just on the level of propaganda and arguing and memes and whatnot, but to actually meet the people. And that's something Don's very, very good at in his filmmaking. If you'd like to respond to this episode or any other episode we've done, maybe suggest a future episode or a future guest, you can always contact us by sending an email to focus@catholic.com, focus@catholic.com. And wherever you're watching or listening, if you give us that 5-star review, maybe a few nice words, it does help to grow the podcast. And we'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Focus.